Doug.
I'm Rachel.
I'm Ben.
I'm Mariah.
Kyle.
And we're Raspberry Pi. And you're listening to WMUCFM.
College Park. What's the saddest gotta come out? That's what the funk
is all about.
Ever wonder why you feel like a complete zombie when your alarm goes off after 8 hours, if you're even lucky enough to get that much sleep? As college students, it feels almost impossible for us to get enough sleep. We're constantly told to get 8 hours, but is that really the magic number? Did you know that throughout the night, your body cycles through periods of light sleep and very deep sleep? Most people's sleep cycles tend to last 90 minutes, so if you aim for 8 hours, your alarm is likely to go off just as you're diving into deeper sleep. Try aiming for 7.5 hours of sleep and see how you feel in the morning. If you feel great, you probably nailed it and found your sleep cycle. If you don't feel perfect just yet, test out an 85 or 95 minute sleep cycle instead. Not only will you feel great in the mornings once you discover your magic number, you'll also add about 30 minutes of valuable time to your day.
I'm
feels better biting down. It feels better biting down.
Problem again. You're listening to WMUC College Park. I'm Greg Freeman.
Beautiful stranger sitting right there looked up at me and my dark curly hair. Looked back for a second, didn't want to be rude. I tend to fall in love on the tube. Stranger sitting right there, reading a newspaper stuck to his chair. I swore that he smiled and I felt my heart drop. Heard the doors open, came to my stop. What if I hadn't left the train at Ledbetter? Exchanged a few words. A fairy tale moment could have occurred, but my beautiful stranger will have to remain a stranger until I see him again. See him again. Mm-hmm. Beautiful stranger. Stare. It's fate we collided right then back there. I wonder if he felt the same thing too. Innocent crush on the morning commute. Mm-hmm. What if I would have stayed on the train? Dared to stand. I'll have to remain a stranger until I see him again. See him again. Mm-hmm. My beautiful stranger will have to remain a love that came and left with this train. My
lose.
I wanna see what you see.
waves through me. Like a deer in the headlights, you'll see echo my stiletto as I sweep my tracks. But I'm not going down that road, so sit back and relax. If you wanna take the shortcut, I can take the scenic way. You can take the long way, long way. If you wanna take the shortcut, I can take the scenic way. You can take the long way, long way. If you wanna take the shortcut, I can take the scenic way. You can take the long way, long way. If you wanna take the shortcut, I can take the scenic way. You can take the long way, long way. If you wanna take the shortcut, I can take the scenic way. You can take the long way, long way. If you wanna take the shortcut, I can take the scenic way. You can take the long way, long way.
Hey, it's Kelly from Hotel Eden. You're listening to WMUC 1FM in College Park.
Used to living now, I can't get. So glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey baby, are you an overdue library book? Cause you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf.
What about that girl with the hoop earrings?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing.
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh my god, Becky. Becky, are you okay?
My arm. I think it's broken.
Can you bend it?
It's already bent. In the wrong direction.
I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case,
my arm is fine.
Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm! It hurts!
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
Most of the world knows him as the Irish saint who banished the snakes. But he wasn't Irish, and there were no snakes in Ireland. The true story of St. Patrick is of a fugitive slave running for his life. A visionary mystic. A radical priest fighting for his mission. An outcast, beloved by a nation. In his wake, two worlds collide, and one is transformed forever.
Patrick, a sinner, the least of all the faithful and utterly despised by many. Although I am imperfect in many things, I nevertheless wish that my brethren and kinsmen should know what sort of person I am.
His story begins not in Ireland, but in Britain, at the westernmost edge of the Roman Empire. Patrick was born in the town of Banavem at the close of the 4th century.
He was by culture a Roman, and that meant that he was the product of a highly organized civilization, the most organized civilization in ancient times.
Patrick was the son of a Roman nobleman, so he grew up in a household of wealth. He would have been waited on, and he would have seen that as a very normal form of life.
It was a way of life that would not endure. Christianity had become the empire's official religion, but Patrick was one of many who strayed.
We turned away from God and did not keep his commandments, and did not obey our priests.
He didn't practice, he said. We didn't listen to our clergy, who warned us about our salvation.
The walls of Banavem could not protect Patrick from the forces that lurked beyond. His life of ease and comfort would come to an end in a brutal twist of fate.
It was violent and merciless and quick. They just dashed in, killed many of the servants, and took the ones they thought would be valuable. They didn't kill those, and they dumped them into the boats.
At the age of 16, Patrick was kidnapped by the most fearsome barbarians of their day, Irish slave traders.
The Irish raiders were professionals. They were out to make money, to kidnap slaves and to sell them back in Ireland.
For Patrick and the others taken that day, the voyage west was like falling off the edge of the earth. Protected by a treacherous sea, Ireland had never been conquered by mighty Rome. Its sheer cliffs kept at bay all but the most fearless pirates and slave traders.
They knew the route along the southern coast and up into the west coast of Ireland. And then what they did was they sold the slaves all along the coastline to people who were interested in buying them.
Patrick knew his fate. Nobody escaped from Ireland. Nobody ever made it back to Britain.
He thought he'd never again see home. Everything was gone. Now he was a slave.
The Irish were a fighting people. They were always fighting. There was no United Ireland. There was a high king who paid attention to him beyond 10 miles beyond his palace. They never did. They still don't.
We know from Irish stories that they engaged in headhunting, that they prized bravery and fierceness in battle.
The more heads you could cut off as a warrior, the better.
The soul was believed to be contained within the head. So to take the head of your enemy was literally to almost take their soul.
The Lord brought over us the wrath of his anger and scattered us among the many nations, even unto the utmost part of the earth, where now my littleness is placed among strangers.
Patrick's savage captors sold him to the chieftain of a remote Irish realm.
One can only guess at the shocking transformation it must have been from a well-organized, reasonably quiet life to something that bore no resemblance at all to anything that he had been used to. This is what is the measure of the man. Many a human being would have collapsed. Psychologically collapsed. Just a cast off in the lowest strata of society. Patrick didn't. Patrick survived.
But his life as a slave and outcast had just begun. Darker days lay ahead. Patrick's master sent his miserable young slave to the mountains to tend his flock. The stony pasture became Patrick's prison, the sheep his only companions.
He was terribly lonely and despairing and totally helpless, stripped down.
As the months turned into years, Patrick lost all hope of ever going home again. He faced his hunger and his terror alone.
The amazing thing is how he survived it all. But it's perfectly clear that he was thrown back on the only stable and powerful influence in his life, which was his Christian religion. He turned to his Christian God.
I would pray constantly through snow, frost, rain.
He says he would pray up to 100 times a day and as often again during the night.
Something happens to you when you're alone like that. You develop such a relationship with nature and nature's clouds and movement and the mystical Irish landscape. It has a huge effect on you.
The love of God and his fear came to me more and more. And my faith was strengthened.
It was what we now call a conversion. And religious conversions can be very powerful things. We don't have to quote Paul on the road to Damascus.
in no case, Moses, Paul, Patrick, did this conversion come about as an act of choice. It is forcefully done to the converted man.
Before I was humbled, I was like a stone lying in deep mud. But he that is mighty came and in his mercy raised me aloft.
It was in the midst of prayer that Patrick's transformation began.
I heard a voice saying to me, "It is well that you fast. Soon you will go to your own country."
"Soon you will go to your own country." How could he go to his own country as a slave? How could he get out of Ireland? Where would he go?
And again, after a short while, I heard a voice saying to me, "Behold, your ship awaits you." It was not near, but a distance of perhaps 200 miles. I had never been there, nor did I know a living soul there.
Patrick knew that the Irish put runaway slaves to death. Nevertheless, he began his escape.
I took flight and left those with whom I had stayed for 6 years.
A slave who escapes is actually breaking the law, and anybody who provides him with any kind of protection in the process is also in breach of the law.
It was an awesome journey. He was coming from the northwestern part of Ireland, and he had to journey across the entire island. He had to avoid any sorts of settlements. He may have traveled at night, anything to avoid attention.
I went in the strength of God, who directed my way to my good, and I feared nothing.
He had learned to trust in God in a way that's unimaginable to most people.
His trust was well placed, for at last, Patrick found the ship the voice had promised.
Patrick says that he wasn't afraid until the very end of it, when he came to a ship, because this was the real moment of truth. He had to reveal himself as a runaway Irish slave.
Patrick approached the ship's crew as they prepared to set sail. He begged them to take him aboard.
The ship captain wasn't going to have him. But he doesn't give up because he's had this dream. It says you're going to get home.
I left them, and as I went, I began to pray. And before I had ended my prayer, I heard one of them shouting behind me, "Come, hurry, we shall take you on in good faith." I believe that his